Hi, welcome to If You Even Care. I'm Taylor, and I have another podcast. That one is more your like dating and girl talk and relationship kind of podcast. And I do that one with my best friend, Ashley. But I realized at the beginning of this year, I mean, I've been talking about making a YouTube channel forever, but I'd never actually done any content like alone. And it's so easy to lean on like my best friend whenever I like don't know what to say or any story or opinion. So I wanted to do something where I'd be forced to kind of just rely on myself and stand on my own 2 feet. So I've recorded this episode, this first episode, so many times. There's been a problem every single time. One time there were just the craziest sounds I've ever heard that I'd never heard on that block before in the background. One time I had the light shining directly into my eyes, making them a really scary kind of blue. It's not like a Billie Eilish blue. It's like the color of my eyes is blending into the whites. And it's not a good look. So I said, that's not a good representation of me. It doesn't represent who I am. And also I wouldn't click back on that same person again twice. If they were staring at me with snake eyes, I'm trying this for maybe the fourth or fifth time. Now, a couple of clips were usable from some of the old episodes. So I put a couple of things on TikTok, literally a couple, two. And since they both were around the theme of like old video games, I decided that I'll just talk about that for my first episode. But I really just want this to be like a pick my brain and whatever's like on my mind that week kind of thing, which is the premise of just about every single podcast there is. But somehow this one is different. And maybe it's different because I'm sitting on the floor. I have the option of a couch. I'm looking at a couch. I could sit there, but I'm not. This is different. Okay. I also just wanted to show you my toys. My toys are behind me. So if you're watching this on YouTube, there's my toys. I also have my Meryl plush with me. And I did have to ask myself recently how many stuffed animals as a grown adult is too many stuffed animals. But who's going to come into my home and tell me I have too many plushies? That'd be weird. You're a guest. Why are you coming in here and telling me how many things I can own? So I decided to stop thinking about it. And that really helps. If you get in your head about something, it really helps to just stop thinking. How many toys is too many? Is it weird to collect toys as an adult? Don't think about it. There you go. And now I just continue to do it. When the thought creeps up, I go, eh. I don't have to think. That's a choice. So I just don't think. And it's also appropriate because one of the clips I put on TikTok was about when I was a kid and I hatched over 300 Merrills in Pokemon Sapphire, which I'm going to trust and believe in future me that I can edit that clip in here. I'm just going to put it in. Using a little bit of movie magic, I'm going to edit it into the video that you're watching now. It didn't exist before. Now it's in. Now it's edited in. Okay? I have an Adobe subscription. I can do it. In 2003, I hatched over 300 Merrills in Pokemon Sapphire. I wanted an Azurill. I didn't know that you needed two Merrills with one holding sea incense. I just thought you had to keep breeding them and hatching the eggs. After the first 50 Merrills, it's kind of funny. It's like, oh, look at how many Merrills I have. There's something funny about that. Just a ton of Merrills. And I would ride the bike back and forth, and then I'd stop by the old man. He'd be like, you're never going to believe what we found. I believe it. I've been making those Merrills for weeks. I pick up an egg and I'd run back and forth and then I pick up another egg and I just keep going. And then my cousin started helping me and we would take turns hatching the eggs, driving back and forth, hatching the eggs, naming them. You run out of names after about 50 because you're a child. So after a while, we stopped naming them. The Pokemon community is no stranger to eugenics, but this was not about IVs. This was not about natures. It wasn't even about an Azurill anymore. It became about seeing how far I could go. Then we were like, what if we filled every single box in the PC with a Merrill? And then what? And then what were we going to do? I remember my cousin and I had a conversation where he was like, maybe after we fill every single box in the PC with a Merrill, we could sell the game online. Who the fuck wants that? We're not even naming them anymore. They're just a ton of fucking
baby Merrills. It was my favorite Pokemon. It's still my favorite Pokemon. But goddamn, like, that was not right.
The thing is, nobody tries to stop you.
That old man just keeps handing them over. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something.
Those two Merrills burned through the Karma Sutra.
They had to be level, like, 80. If I were to, like, take them out of the daycare, they had to be. Because they were in there for a long fucking time. And they were getting a workout in.
I had a couple of questions in the comments of that video asking if I got a shiny. No. Out of all those Merrills, not a single green one. But also the shiny odds are disgusting. They were not created with the player in mind. It's just fucked up. So, yeah, no shiny Merrill. Almost completed the Pokedex. Almost raw dogged the fucking Pokedex. That's the real flex, is that I didn't have a Game Shark and I didn't have a game guide, and I almost completed the entire Pokedex in Sapphire, which is the only Pokedex I ever almost completed without cheating. But just missing a couple things that needed to be traded to me, and missing an Azurill. How was I going to put that together? How is a child who has limited computer access and no player's guide, I asked for it, I just didn't get it, going to figure out the sea incense bullshit amongst a bunch of other things? Don't even get me started on trying to get a Melodic. That one had to be cheated into my game later on, because that was never going to happen on my own. It feels better if you figure it out on your own, but that was never going to happen for me. But it got me thinking about what I would have to say my favorite Pokemon game is. Overall, has to be Crystal Version. Gen 2 Pokemon are my favorite, period. It also holds some sentimental value because I was an only child until my sister was born. And then on the day she was born, my Uncle Lino took me to Toys R Us and got me Pokemon Crystal Version. Probably because I wasn't handling having a new sibling that well. Didn't really want one. Nobody asked me. They just did it. They made one. And I had to receive that news and I had to process it. And that did hold me over. That made me feel a little bit better. New baby who? Okay? Gen 2 is here. I didn't even know they could make new Pokemon. At that point, I didn't think that was a possibility. I thought we were just going to be stuck with the originals. Imagine present day, all these games came out and they never made any new Pokemon. It's just the same, like, 100, whatever, 150. I said 100, whatever, as if I didn't know the Pokemon rap song by heart as a kid. I was really ashamed of myself just now. But I was so excited. First of all, Suicune and Entei. Prime. Those were the legendaries in my mind. Ho-Oh, I've been waiting a minute for that bitch. Saw you fly over Ash Ketchum's head, okay? In the early episodes, in episode 1. And now I finally get to see you? Now you want to show yourself? I got to play as a girl. A girl with blue hair, mind you. My favorite color, write that down. It was so exciting. They did tell me in the game that Team Rocket was cutting the tails off of Slowpokes. That's disturbing. I wasn't ready for that. I just didn't think that Pokemon could get dark, that it could be evil. I thought the darkest it would get is like Pikachu electrocuting Ash. That was kind of fucked up. I was like, that's a lot. I had no idea. I had no idea what was going to come later. Playing Pokemon Blue, just for reference, the Viridian Forest music was fucking terrifying to me. I had to mute the game whenever I was in there. Now it's been a minute in there because I got a little lost. But the music was so scary. Little did I know, there's this fucked up little town called Lavender Town. Walking in there and hearing the music, I had to go find an adult. I was not ready for that. First of all, the town is, and I'm using town loosely, It's like three homes and this massive seven-story piece of like brutalist architecture that serves as the, you know, the Trump Tower of graveyards, called the Pokemon Tower, which you would think, hearing the name Pokemon Tower, that the Pokemon are alive. That's where my mind would go. And some were, but most weren't. Most of them were dead because it was full of tombstones and grieving trainers who, for whatever reason, would lock eyes with me and then go, do you want to fight? I'm next to like a mother crying over like her family Rattata. But yeah, sure, we can fucking fight right now. Yeah, this seems like a really good place to battle, where like we can fuck around and like ruin a gravesite, which is a crime, by the way. The whole town was disturbing, full of like absolute freak leaks. But a question that I have to the people who came up with the concept of the Pokemon Tower: where are the Pokemon buried? I'm seeing nothing but linoleum. Are they under the linoleum? Are they under the peel and stick tile? Or are they in their Pokeballs? Are these Pokeballs full of skeletons? If you were to throw a Pokeball, would a skeleton come out? Because that's so much scarier. It's so much scarier to think that you could like find a Pokeball in this world and throw it and a fucking skeleton would come out. Or worse, a decaying body. But these are the things that we have to think about when we want to have a place called Pokemon Tower full of mystics and people grieving and we want to fight in there. You know? So not only is this place fucked up because they have to mourn inside a tower, but they're also being haunted by the spirit of a dead Marowak who was murdered by Team Rocket. So again, at this point in my life, I thought Pokemon was all, I thought it was innocent. It was escapism. I didn't consider the fact that Pokemon could die, let alone that they could be murdered. So you've introduced me to two concepts that I barely understand now. I thought that Pokemon was still like Team Rocket. I thought Team Rocket was chasing Pikachu around with a giant butterfly net and James putting on some lashes and a dress and them getting into shenanigans and tomfoolery, chasing around Pikachu, just obsessing over Pikachu. I didn't know that this Italian-American freak Giovanni was fucking killing Pokemon. So now this town with the scariest theme music and nothing really going for it, nothing to draw tourists in, just a massive graveyard, just a town full of people grieving, which, by the way, how cheap is the rent? What is keeping you here? All three of these homes, what is keeping you people here? Are they ancestral? Did you inherit it? Because I'm not seeing any other reason to stay. Now it's haunted. Great. Yeah. I did not take that lightly as a kid. It changed the way that I viewed Team Rocket, where I thought it was just three buffoons that would just shoot off at the end of the episode. And, you know, you hate them, but you love them. You love to hate them. They're kind of harmless. Meowth has like an East Coast accent for some reason. I didn't think that they were a part of a very sinister and serious crime syndicate, but they were. So, and finding the, what was it called? That scope item that you had to use on the ghost at the top of the Pokemon Tower. Disturbing. I was easily frightened as a kid. But even as an adult, I think it would still give me palm sweats a little bit. Out of all of the antagonistic teams, I would have to say the one team I could see myself being indoctrinated into is probably Team Plasma. Not because of the outfits. The outfits are the one thing that I'm holding against them. In the beginning, when you meet Team Plasma, they're not really a villain. Like, you don't know. I mean, I would know because I'd be like, hey, their name starts at Team. What have we learned over all this time? Anybody that calls themselves Team, blah, 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 is evil. But not everybody's on the same wavelength. So Team Plasma's idea was like, you know, it's unethical to battle Pokemon. It's unethical to keep them in these Pokeballs. And I can get behind that. That makes perfect sense to me. It is kind of fucked up a little bit. I mean, like, they're choosing you and you're choosing them. But it's also like, how do we know that's always the case? You know, Team Rocket killed a Marowak. I got to consider everything now. There's no more escapism. I don't want to have to consider the ethics of Pokemon battling or side-eye everybody that owns a Vaporeon. But now maybe I do. So I think I could see myself hearing their whole pledge and being like their whole thing and being like, yeah, I could get behind that. It's like PETA level shit. It's like, yeah, it's not cool to like make them fight each other and keep them in these fucking, you know, mechanical balls. You're right. You're making solid points. I'm not going to put on one of those fuck-ass outfits, though. Like the white knight thing, little on the nose. Little bit on the nose, just wearing a sheet. You guys are wearing comforters. I can't put that on. I can't be seen in that. I support what you do. But unless you're going to give me one of the outfits with the beret, I can't do this. I'll donate, you know, because we don't know at this point that Team Plasma's real thing, because they're being run by like a psychotic cult leader, is that the leader wanted all Pokemon to be released so that he had no opposition and he could like rule the entire world, which I never understood that about villains. You don't really want to run the whole world. If you were running the world, you'd be stuck in an office all day long. You run the whole world. If they want to put up a fucking stop sign in Sinnoh, you're going to have to pass that. Everything comes to you. You don't want to rule the fucking world. Shut up. This guy did, I guess. So, at first you're not going to know. You're not going to know that this whole thing is that this guy can run shit by himself. I would subscribe to it probably. I'd probably hear them, you know, standing in a town square with a speaker on a Sunday and being like, this is wrong. And, you know, you got to release them. And I'd be like, it's something to think about, something to go home and consider. A plight I wouldn't consider, and that makes zero sense to me at all, is the fucking Team Aqua and Team Magma thing. Not understanding. Maybe I have to go back and play them again. Play those games. Hear the story again. Hear what their whole shtick was. From what I'm remembering, Team Aqua wanted the world to be all ocean. Okay? Team Magma wanted the world to be all land. All ocean. Where the fuck are you gonna go? Where are any of us gonna go? What happens from there? What was the plan? We make the whole world ocean. And then what? Then what do we do? What do you do? Is this a suicide mission? Team Magma, you want to make the whole world land. Just get rid of the fucking ocean entirely. It's given colonizer, but you could do it, I guess. Sure. If any of them make any sense, it would probably be Team Magma. More land. Expand the land. More people can have homes. You know, less homeless people overall. I guess. I don't know, if there was like some massive creature that lived in like the core of the earth or in, you know, the depths of the ocean, and I knew that for fact, and I knew it was, you know, a smart creature that could potentially kill everybody if it wanted to, I'd probably worship it like a god. I think I would. It's that episode of Rick and Morty. There's like this giant thing in the sky and then everybody gets on their knees and starts praying to it. I could see that happening. And there's so many legendaries. You gotta choose one. And I'm not fucking praying to Deoxys. I could see it being Groudon or... No, pretty much just Groudon. Because who wants a world full of ocean? That makes no sense. And also, you're dressed like a fucking express employee. Team Aqua had the, like, stripes and, like, what was it, cargo shorts or whatever. Team Magma, I'm in a cute little hoodie with the little, like, horns. Horns or ears, and there were horns on the hoodie. Okay, Hot Topic versus Express. Either way, you would not gather just how serious they were, how serious the issue was, by how they look. And they hated each other, of course, because they both had the exact same fucking bird-brained idea, just in reverse. I just didn't understand. Maybe I do need to re-up on the plot, because there has to be... That's a pretty massive plot hole on Team Aqua's end. And then Team Magma, does that not present issues about, like, water and... Where are we going to get it from? Is it still allowed to rain? Are we using sunny day all the time? Is it just to turn the whole world into Arizona? Just not getting what the goal was. Feel like there's still a chance I could fall for it. I could still be, you know, swayed, but I would need them to really sell that to me because I'm just not getting what any of it is for. But Sapphire was special to me, especially because of the Pokemon contest, which I took very seriously. They had cute contest. I didn't really know how the contest worked. They said, make Pokeblocks, feed them, get their cute meter up. I said, okay. So I got a Skitty. Loved that Skitty. I had Skitty on a tight regimen. Wake up, Pokeblock, cigarette, contest, another cigarette, another Pokeblock, another contest, and then sweet dreams for dessert. We had ribbons to win. All of that to lose to a fucking Whalmer? Okay. I'm not really understanding where the judge is going with that. It's a Skitty, but okay. Lost to a Whalmer. Lost to a Barboach the week before, but, right, so you're saying a fucking fish on land is cuter than a Skitty. A pink kitten with, like, a flower tail. That doesn't make any sense. And they say it's about the movesets. I think it's about who's sleeping with the judge. Sorry. Somebody had to say it. It's a fucking Barboach. A Barboach versus a Skitty. And I loaded Skitty up with all the moves. Skitty was overwhelmed with the Pokeblocks. It wasn't right the way I treated her. But she won a decent amount. Nobody won as much as my Blaziken. Blaziken won all the contest. I just, you know, in the beginning, I'm a rookie. I'm new here. I don't really understand the ropes. I don't have... the kind of relationship with the judge that I guess you need to have. But so Skitty was kind of like the guinea pig. And I'm sorry to her for that. Now, there's another game that I used to play all the time, and I only know one person who's ever heard of it, my cousin, because they played the game with me. So I'm curious to see if anybody out there has ever played this game too. It was called There. So when I got a little older, and I got some laptop access, I took advantage of it immediately. and also lost it very quickly. I must have been looking up like open world games or something like that, because I found there, which was pretty much identical to Second Life. It was like 3D world. You could visit different places, talk to people. There was a store. You could dress your avatar. You know, same shit. Just not as advanced and like nicely put together as Second Life. So we started playing there. And in the store, you could trial an item and keep it temporarily, and then it would just disappear from your inventory when whatever amount of time ran out. But my cousin and I found out that if you just kept clicking on the trial button over and over and over, the items would appear in your inventory permanently. Perfect. We're going to exploit that every time. Fill up our inventories. And it was like cars, dogs, hoverboards. We could have pets and clothes and whatever. So we would load up on cars, load up on dogs. And every day at a scheduled time, we would meet up on the beach and stunt on these low poly bitches. Okay? Unleash our inventory for everybody to see. I don't know how much everything cost in like USD, but I'm assuming it would have translated to like a decent chunk of money. So we just looked like we were rolling in it. But we did give back to our community too. So, you know, people would stop, they'd admire, they'd look at our dogs, our 30 dogs running around on the beach. And I'd PM them and I'd say, hey, you can have a dog. You can have a dog too. Yeah. For free. Gift it to you. And have a car. Yeah, have a car too. And another dog. A dog to share with a friend. Spread the word. Tell them who gave it to you. We would do that all day. We would just gift people shit. And then one day I stepped away from the computer and my mom looked at what I was playing. And I think that she still thought I was like on Neopets, like ice cream machine game. But she saw that it was like the kind of game where you could walk around and talk to people. She wasn't crazy about that. So I did lose laptop privileges. And I tried to explain to her, okay, I'm a philanthropist. Take a look at everybody on this beach. Take a look around. Everybody on this beach has a dog. All right? Everybody on this beach has a car. Because of me. Not you. Because of me. And she didn't care. She heard me, but she wasn't hearing me. So I lost laptop privileges. And then when I got them back, I abused them again. I immediately got on Second Life. I think that we tried to log back into there, and at some point the game like disappeared. Like we couldn't find it anymore. It was like it never existed. I think it like shut down and then came back. I don't know. I don't know if it still exists present day. But Second Life was way more advanced. It just felt like there was a lot more going on. So it was a little intimidating. I got in the freebie zone and I threw some fucking cheap clothes on my avatar and stood around in the newbie zone or whatever. And eventually a group of people took me in and they, you know, you could teleport people to wherever you were hanging out in the game. So every time I would log on, they would teleport me to wherever they were hanging out. And that could be Paris. We could be at the Eiffel Tower. We could be at a cafe. We could be in the fucking rainforest. Every day, we were getting into something. And then one day they teleported me to a BDSM dungeon. Something that I had no reference for being a child. So thankfully, my brain protected me. Everything just kind of looked like wingdings. And I had no idea what I was looking at. But I knew that it wasn't good. I knew that I should be giving the laptop to a trusted adult. I knew that all the people behind these avatars in real life smelled like ranch corn nuts. I knew these things in my heart and my soul, and I knew them for fact. So all the innocence was stripped away from it immediately. And I did stop playing the game after that. I had a second life, second family. I hung out with these people like every day. I had a second life boyfriend. His name was James. He was 16. He lived in Alaska. And I know what you're thinking. Everybody says that they're 16 online when they're lying about their age. But we can't prove anything. We don't know for sure. He said he was 16. He said he lived in Alaska. And people don't lie about living in Alaska. Okay? So he's probably 16. Being online at that time in any kind of game where you could talk to people was try not to get groomed challenge. And thankfully, it did not happen to me, partially because of a very scary episode of Degrassi where the blonde one, I forgot her name, she met up with a random guy that she met online who lied about his age and what he looked like, and he took her to a hotel room. And that episode scared me to my core. Shook me. So I was like, but that's not James, of course. James wouldn't, no. No. And when I say boyfriend, I mean like we would wear matching outfits and we PM'd for 2 weeks. And it was always very innocent. Although 16 is a great age. If you're going to go online and you're going to lie about your age, 16 is a great choice. You know, the kids are going to look at you and they're going to think they're cool. Like, oh, cool. Well, that's what I thought at fucking 11, 12 years old. I said, oh, cool. A 16-year-old wants to talk to me. Because my friend's older sister was 16 and she was the coolest person I'd ever seen. Mostly because she was 16, but also because she wore bangles. And that's fucking awesome. I can't think of anything that was cooler to me at that time than wearing like a lot of bracelets or really loud bangles. So I was like, a 16-year-old wants to talk to me. That's, wow, they see something in me. But I don't think anybody actually ever was 16. I think the people that were 16 were lying and saying that they were 18. So I don't think anyone really truly was 16 online. One of my fantasies was to have my friends over and that they would just want to watch me play a single player game by myself for no reason. And I think a lot of people wanted that same thing. Present day, that would be Twitch. You can have your friends on Twitch and they'll watch whatever you're playing just because you're streaming it. It doesn't really matter. But back then, you had to sometimes get creative, pretend to plug in a second controller. Sometimes it was a little hard to come up with an idea of who they're going to be. I'd have to tell my sister that she was the guy who sold me a potion, or she's the dog in Fable 2. And she'd buy it, and I'd say, what a fool. What a simpleton. But my mom made me do it. She made me plug in a second controller. I'm like, some of these are genuinely one-player games, and she didn't want to hear it. So I had to do what I had to do to get by. I did have a friend that got away with that, though. I had a friend who, in elementary school, she'd have me over to her house and she would have me pull up a chair to her computer desk. And I had no idea that Roller Coaster Tycoon was such a scary game. I really didn't. But I would sit there and watch her on her family computer play Roller Coaster Tycoon and create death coasters that would launch families into a man-made lake. And she would do that for long periods of time. And when she would get bored with that, she would pick up some of the people, especially the ones that threw up. Those were the first ones to go. If you threw up, you were getting picked up by, like, the hand of God, I guess, and tossed into the lake to drown. I think it's very funny that the guy who made Roller Coaster Tycoon, the only reason that he made it so people drown is because he didn't want to animate people swimming. He was like, I'm not doing all that. They can go. So you could pick people up and you could drown them. And she really enjoyed doing that. Now me, of course I want to play the game too. But I'm in someone else's home. I'm smelling smells I've never smelled before. I can't even identify what kind of food her mom is cooking. There's a candle maybe? I don't know. There's something like herbal. I can't put my finger on it. She has an older brother. That is terrifying. Why is he in the room with us? And I've never seen this furniture before. So this entire play date, I am out of body. Until the moment I leave, I am not even here. I'm terrified. A couple of times I did get brave and I did say, could I try playing for a little bit? Or can I make a cotton candy stall or something like that? And she'd tell me in 5 minutes and then she'd keep playing. And time flies when you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon. So those 5 minutes, you know, can't even blame her. She lost track. She lost track every time, but she lost track. So I remember telling my mom that I was like, she doesn't really let me play the game. And she was like, well, you need to be firm. You need to tell her I want a turn on the game and it's my turn. But she didn't understand the issue is I'm at someone else's house. I'm so fucking scared. I'm so scared the whole time I'm here. And every day she'd ask me, do I want to come over? And I'd say yes. I don't even know why I'm saying yes. I don't know why I'm here at this point. But I'm at her house. That's her mom. That's her couch. Her smells. It's not about me. Her dad died in 9/11. So I wasn't going to take this from her. It could have been a coping mechanism. How would I know? And eventually my mom got me Roller Coaster Tycoon because I saw her enjoying it so much. And I did like drowning people. It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun to put 30 loops on a roller coaster. And then when the people get off and they throw up everywhere, you go, eh, you're out. And then pick them up, throw them in the fucking lake. It is fun. It's fun to make a roller coaster that crashes into a cliff. You know? Or just plummet straight to the ground. And then everybody would complain. I remember I would try to make up for the death coasters and drowning with like just a ton of food stalls. Then people would get overwhelmed. They're always saying they don't like my park. They're throwing up all over my sidewalks. They really have like very little autonomy. Because they would only walk wherever I would build a sidewalk, which just think about it for a second. Just think for a moment. You can walk on the grass. But they didn't realize that. So you could trap them, which is what it came to when they wouldn't stop vomiting all over my fucking park. I would trap them. And I'm assuming that this is normal behavior. But if it's not, let's keep that to ourselves. We don't have to share that kind of thing. I'm just being vulnerable. I'm being honest. I'm telling my truth or whatever. But I would love to hear from everybody what your favorite game was growing up. Or if anybody had a game that they played in kind of an unconventional way. I love hearing that kind of stuff. In Pokemon Crystal version, you could like anybody that you battled previously could call you and ask you to battle again. So I used to pretend that they were calling me to cut grass. So whenever I would get a call, I would like fly to wherever they were and I would use the move cut and just cut grass around them. I just wanted to do chores, I guess, virtual chores. And I didn't really know about The Sims yet. When I did. And let me tell you this to give you a little insight into who I am. I am a Sims girl. And I cleaned it up a bit. I have like 85 gigabytes of mods in my game. So, and I have so much respect for a vanilla player, but I'm not, and I can't, and I won't. I just didn't know that The Sims existed. And when I did find Harvest Moon, I went bananas. So I just wanted to cut some grass. I just wanted to do a mundane task. But I love hearing shit like that. So if you have one of those stories or one of those games, comment wherever you are. I guess that would only be Spotify or YouTube. And maybe while you're at it, leave a review. Leave a couple stars. I don't know. Hit a bell. Hit a like. Hit a subscribe. Share to a friend. I don't know. You could do a few of them. You could do one. You could do none. I would say if you like this episode, you should review it. And if you don't like this episode, I think that might not be your path. I think that you could probably think of something better to do than share that with me. Okay? Because I've recorded this 5 times and I'm in a fragile state. So I'm going to put these out on Fridays. And yeah, click all the links in the bio. What else is there? That's about it. Okay, goodbye.